a warrant to search her home. When an officer shows that confusing an address for the purpose of the probation, in Georgia v. Randolph in 2006, the U.S. Supreme Court said that the police use these addresses for what? For the purpose of probation. This was a probationary address. In 2006, in Georgia v. Randolph, the United States Supreme Court held that physically present inhabitants express refusal of consent to a police search is dispositive as to who, regardless of the consent of a fellow occupant. This case falls squarely within the rules stated in Randolph. Josephine Smith was physically present at her home on October 7, 2010, when the San Jose Police Department engaged in a formal search. This was a situation where somebody was on location when they searched the issue. Meaning, when they searched, they didn't consent to the search. Correctly. So that's a distinguishing fact. It's a distinguishing fact because Randolph focuses on the Fourth Amendment rights of the objective party, not the consent party. So here, appellants, Josephine and Minor Agnes, neither of them were on probation, and it's their home that officers were searching. Courts that have considered the application of Randolph to objecting consent that are not on probation parole have held that Randolph can apply to uphold those tenants' Fourth Amendment rights. Appellants face three cases in particular that have held this. Gordon v. Lund, an interdisciplinary Wisconsin case from 2008. Sanders v. City of Bakersfield, a 2009 Eastern District of California case. And Donald v. City, the Delaware Supreme Court case. And in all three of those cases, although for other reasons the courts apply Randolph, or Randolph was ultimately dispositive, the court did find that Randolph should apply to preserve Fourth Amendment rights of the objecting party.
Well, I think which you do argue that Randolph is perfectly applicable to situations where there's a need to be under probation. Was the jury in this case ever instructed that Josephine Smith did not have an expectation of privacy to be in a position to build for the jury for them to decide on
whether or not Josephine had a reasonable expectation of privacy in her home?
Right.
Were they told or told that she didn't? I don't believe that the jury was ever instructed that she didn't have a reasonable expectation of privacy, but they were instructed under the jury instructions that were given that Josephine Smith, who controlled and reasonably appeared to have control over the area, knowingly consented to the search. So the way the jury was instructed implied that the fact that Josephine had consented to the search was dispositive as to regardless of whether Josephine had a reasonable expectation of privacy in her home. I don't think it's just the jury in the court found that Josephine Smith did have a reasonable expectation of privacy in her home. So what do you think it was?
That's looking at the verdict form here. In the verdict form, questions were, jointly, if Josephine Smith had a reasonable expectation of privacy in her home, the answer yes. Question 58, did he have a reasonable expectation of privacy in her home? The answer yes. But no, those were all to do with whether the police officers intimidated or not to be coerced into action, which is something that's required for the police to say for me. And so what can we infer regarding the jury's analysis based on the findings that both Josephine Smith and Agnes had an expectation of privacy?
The fact that both Josephine and the minor Agnes had an expectation of privacy in their home should have resulted in the jury finding that there was Fourth Amendment violation, because Josephine was able to express objection to the search was in an effort to preserve an expectation of privacy. And because the officers were permitted to enter the home and search over her objection, undermines the Fourth Amendment rights. So the fact that the jury found that she had a Fourth Amendment right only because she had a expectation of privacy in her home only furthers the court's argument that Randolph should apply and that it should be found to be a Fourth Amendment violation.
The way that the instructions were argued, it was an all or nothing premise.
principal arrestor, who certainly had reasonable suspicion of detaining her and questioning her, there could be her involvement in the behavior of the crime at that point was simply established by an eyewitness who said that she was driving a car. She was not really seen separate. Whether or not probable cause is standard to arrest her for being accessory or for a carjacking for that matter, it's not a clear answer. There's certainly that this court reasonable suspicion for a detention question. And at this point, the officers, when they were investigating her, they realized that they had an active search condition for Jesse, which would allow
it to be arrested for detention.
It did certainly extend that. At that point, what their interest was to find her and to take her to Jesse to question her. None of the officers testified that their intention at that time was to arrest her for a specific crime. They wanted to find her and question her.
Did they arrest her for
Search.
She didn't even know
as a part of their purpose. It's no longer a commissioner. It's against the commissioner. And the commissioner is free to go along with the commissioner.
How is that frustrated in the governmental interest?
Well, the governmental interest here, the non-governmental interest here, regarding essentially public safety concerns, we quickly, efficiently, effectively be able to respond to a
community member's work.
Because based upon their understanding of the facts and the use of the law at the time, a warrant wasn't necessary. The information that they had, especially the wrong justices that were provided at the residence, should indicate there were any parts of the residence that were not within the sphere of our access that would be exclusive to our office to anyone else. So, in terms of understanding that they are in the ability to engage higher levels based on the common area, the ability to enter and search that common area based on their understanding was within a lot of the case. And that's where they chose to come to the warrant.
What was the given honor to understand that? What are the respects of the probationer's consent?
There is actually a long line of California case law specifically related to it. Randolph, interestingly, is not novel in the state of California. In 1960, the state of California Supreme Court issued this decision in the Tompkins case. The Tompkins ruling was essentially the exact same as the Randolph case. And in the 50 years between Tompkins and the facts of this case, there have been several California appellate decisions applying Tompkins in the conditions scenario. And all of those decisions presided in our papers received a stone for justice. All of those cases decided that this Tompkins Randolph rule did not apply in the conditions scenario for all of these.
I'll be honest and say that as a matter of federal constitutional law, it's the case.
These cases, the Tompkins did look at the Fourth Amendment analysis, and they determined that there was a reduced expectation of privacy. These cases were taken up in federal court. They were within the state books here, and that's the law that was coming out at this time. The issues of the Randolph decision being so closely matched to the Tompkins decision were due to the interview of the police officers at issue to alter this 50 years of federal court decision law that sets a different footing in the way to Tompkins. One thing I would like to point out is that the court in both Randolph and Hernandez stated that they wanted to limit the scope of the rules that they were issuing. And that they didn't want to result in legal obligations to result in practical content, practical difficulties, and practical consequences. In this case, applying Randolph to the prohibition judgments would result in effort and practical consequences. Your Honor, this can lead to forced probation violations. Probationer says that I agree to present myself for a suspicion of search or wrongful search at any time, and that search is thwarted by the probationer judge to do any of them, but it's not their consent. But that theoretically could constitute a probation violation. I think the Randolph or Hernandez was intended to increase the number of probation violations you're receiving. Furthermore, the parties have submissions to the burden for client notice. There has also been a difference between probation, the privacy interests of the probationers, which is to the non-probationers who object, as opposed to the probationers who do what they ask them to do, which is to get a job, earn money, become family members of society, they don't send them to their own residence. Those people would be able to be searched at any time, whereas somebody who chooses not to become financially independent and have their hands in the restriction of putting one of them in there should be an operation, which would be the essential scheme that we wish to promote.
Addressing first the policy argument that somehow applying Randolph and probation contracts encourages probationers to violate their terms of probation. Appellant's position is that not applying right now to the situation, and thereby subverting the Fourth Amendment rights of people that choose to be with probationers and parolees, in fact, does not further the government's interest in rehabilitation and reintegration to society that appellants cite in the brief constantly. Because why would someone willingly choose to live with a probationer or a parolee if they know they have no rights as to the common areas of their house, and presumably in order to engage with probationers, Fourth Amendment rights that they have, your position is but one factor to be considered among the custody of factual circumstances. Under Randolph, it is. Because under Randolph, a staff particularly cannot live to a distinguished person who contend that Josie did not in fact live there, and the record does not support that Josie did in fact live there. This is a case where Josie, on her own initiative, is using appellant's address for purposes of probation. So under those circumstances, Josie cannot use Josie's address for purposes of probation. Josie would have enjoyed full rights given to her under Randolph, even if one of her other co-tenants had objected. And so, it is in some ways subverting the rights of co-tenants under Randolph to not have that be a dispositive factor just because they chose to live with somebody that's on probation or parole. And I think that what also makes the fact that this case particularly troubling is the fact that there's very little evidence that Josie actually lived in the two parks. The probation department had never made any contact with her there. The police officers of various church agencies met him four times and never located her. Well, surely they have to be able to watch her on the information that she consists of. Right, and that goes to the probable, what the officers have probable cause to believe she lived there. But I'm talking about whether the police can argue that just being knowingly cohabitated with her probationer, because in order for them to show she knowingly cohabitated, they have to know she actually lived there.
To a girlfriend,
we share
the
issue.
We share the issue.
We share the issue.
We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We share the issue. We